Live from across Europe, this is Previously in Europe, a podcast about what's previously in Europe. I'm your only host today, Hugh, because my co-host Ciarán is on vacation doing something or other. And today we are going to discuss, very briefly, because I'm on my own and me talking directly to a microphone is fun and all, but it really doesn't have the same dynamics of two people. So I'm going to cover something that we got in our suggestion box. The suggestion box is something available to our Patreon members where they can suggest something and me and Ciarán will cover it, at least at some degree, on the show. Or, like this, it'll get its own episode. Because initially I thought this was going to be part of what I was going to talk about, but no, it's it's actually a deep, deep well that continues. So today we are not going to talk about the European Space Army that I believe someone in the EU suggested, or what else is happening. I'm sure Boris Johnson has done something, but I don't want to talk about that. Instead, I'm going to talk about Albania. That's right, west of Macedonia, north of Greece, sort of, on the Mediterranean. Albania, everyone's favorite country that people definitely forget is in the Europe. This suggestion box comes from our patron, Dermot Burke, who asks, 2019 Albania local elections. Loads of major parties didn't take part in protest of the government, and the whole thing looks to be a shit show. That's not a question, Dermot, but I understand what you mean. So, a quick background of this. People might remember, I think the last time we covered Albania on the podcast was because there were mass student protests that ran from December through February. I believe we talked about it in February when they were kind of winding down and some stuff actually happened, other than the protests themselves. This was about rises in tuition fees for students that the student population said seemed an arbitrary increase, and there was no improving conditions, and actually there were still cuts in some of the universities. That went on for several months. And it culminated in effectively a big government reshuffle, including getting rid of the education minister, which, I mean, if you're protesting the education system, that seems like a reasonable concession. But that's very much like a surface thing that was happening relating to a barely functioning system that was very much teetering on the brink of collapse. So around the same time of the student protests, about half of the parliament had returned from a boycott. And that lasted basically until the end of the student protests, when they kicked off their student their protests, or just generic anti-government protests, largely around their perceived illegitimacy of the 2017 Albania elections, which caused the current Prime Minister Edi Rama to win a majority, which was somewhat expected, somewhat unexpected, but kind of unusual for them to have gotten the majority they did. Aside from this, a 2016 law that was passed by the previous government, which Rama was also in charge of, but it was in coalition with the smaller party that's also on the left. So his party is the Socialist Party, and then there is the Socialist Movement for Integration, which was a party that split off from the Socialist Party for a number of reasons, but as we will talk about now, distance from Rama and people who surround him might be one of the key reasons why they might have wanted to separate in the first place. So due to a law they passed, which was very much supported by the EU and other international bodies, which was effectively a vetting law that anyone in the prosecutor's office or judiciary, so all the judges, was supposed to have to get vetted. Basically because people saw that the Albanian justice system was very corrupt, a lot of judges seemed mysteriously wealthy, and they wanted to look into this. So this plays in later. So this means that a lot of the judiciary is not in session, because they're currently suspended pending their investigations continuing, because again, as I mentioned, a lot of them were suspiciously wealthy, so some of them were going to have to be kicked out based on this law, but it meant there isn't a functioning judiciary to adjudicate a lot of the problems that come up in the rest of this. Again, the parliament isn't really functioning because more than 40 MPs quit in March as a continuation of the ongoing anti-government protests. Basically, all of the opposition parties have come together and agree that Rama's government only exists because of rampant corruption and or voter fraud of some description. Some sort of like electoral fraud. There's various types of electoral fraud, which we'll get into. They have proof about it. But yeah, they have good reason to have done this. And I think you get to the point where you're actually resigning from your office rather than just, you know, complaining about it in Parliament. Kind of means you're real serious and is less surface level than being part of protests. And then, because of this, and because of something else we're going to talk about, the president then called for to delay these local elections that the question is about until October. And Rada effectively turned around and said, no, we're going to have them anyway at the end of June. And the election commission sided with Rada and just went ahead and held the elections anyway, even though several of the local regions' electoral commissions were initially like not allowing preparations for the election to take place, they ended up taking place anyway. So this caused Rama Socialist Party running unopposed in about half of the regions, like with no opposition at all, so they automatically won, effectively, like that didn't matter. And then against what a lot of news outlets, so this is going off Reuters, Al Jazeera, Euronews, all called them weak candidates, meaning that effectively all of the seats were won by Rada's party. The turnout in some places was around 10%, even in places that were seen as Socialist Party strongholds, so some of the big cities, the turnout was still in the mid-20s, so even with them being, say, like, them publicly and Rama saying that, oh, these elections are totally legitimate, you should all vote in them, they still only managed, like, 20% of the vote out, on average, which is pretty ridiculous. So yeah, this gets into what's their beef? What are all the opposition parties not taking part in elections and resigning their some of them resigning their seats, and then some of them kind of just publicly continuing protests? I should go back saying that, so 40, it's out of their parliament is 140 MPs, so 40 leaving is pretty big. That's a big chunk of the MPs quitting. So I think one of the things that really cements that, gives more weight to these protests, is that all of the main opposite, all of the like actual parties in the parliament all agree on this and are taking part in the protests. None of them are saying that, oh, your protests are going too far. Some of them aren't resigning their seats, but there's nobody speaking up saying, no, I'm on Rama's side, even though we're not in government with him. It's really just the Socialist Party MPs that make up, they have a majority of like four, I think, and so they have 74 MPs, which, I mean, isn't a particularly significant majority. So, yeah, to start with, so they have some solid points about Rama that, you know, really, really cement, they have been good reason for this. So to start, the Socialist Party does, like, has a lot of problems with generally being seen as corrupt, and also a continuation of the administration that was, like, running what was Soviet Albania, under the USSR. Yeah, so there was one instance that in particular that stands out where Rama tried to nominate somebody who was the interior minister during the democracy protests around the bringing of Albania in out of communist rule, where some people were killed. This person was interior minister at the time and is largely seen as like not a good figure relating to that. He tried to nominate him as Speaker of the House, which, I mean, if you still have people in your party who are, like, potentially involved in, like, pretty serious crimes against the population generally, still that high up in your party, that's probably a sign that you need a big refresh of your party. And it doesn't not matter what the party stands for otherwise, but, like, it's pretty indicative that a lot of the people involved in it don't have that at heart. Rama himself doesn't seem to be a particularly encouraging figure. The controversy and criticism section of his Wikipedia page, for instance, has a lot of instances where you click through the links to them, you're like, well, these are all incidents that people agree happened. There's like one where he's involved in a physical altercation with a junior diplomat working in the OSCE mission in Albania, and the Albanian Ministry for Europe and Foreign Affairs confirmed it happened. So, like, it's not like not super encouraging person to necessarily have as your prime minister. He's like cussing out people in Parliament. It's like not just not not a not a figure where if someone's saying that you're probably involved in rampant corruption and potentially organized crime and may have rigged this election, he's not like instilling confidence. And then we get on to the actual proof. So there are tapes of people in Rama's government, high up in the Socialist Party, and Rama himself discussing some of them. So the ones with Rama himself are him discussing with other Socialist Party members about a conspiracy to rig the election involving like buying of votes. There was some instances of people discussing how they could potentially confiscate the ID cards that you need to vote from members of opposition parties. Just as kind of like a massive fuck you to be like, we control the government, we can do what we want. There's people high up in the Socialist Party, so kind of like at mayoralty level, talking to people who are active members of an organized crime gang. And so the reason these tapes exist is partly because of this, is because they're talking with people who are under surveillance about how they can help rig the election. And then, yeah, Rama is talking to people about the conspiracy itself, showing that he pretty clearly knew what was happening and was totally fine with it, and or was encouraging it, and or was involved in planning it. So these have been floating around, like transcripts of them have been floating around, because they were published in various places online in January. But then Bild, everyone's favourite garbage German tabloid, published a lot of the recordings. And like they are pretty, this is the thing, like they are very much what the opposition parties are saying was probably going on, is that Rama's government is massively corrupt and was trying to be involved in rigging the election. There's like one line from it where two of the people discussing it are just saying like, oh, they'll be shocked by how good these election results are going to be for them because of what we're doing. And it's like, I think if you compare it to something like the stupid back and forth of the Trump-Russia stuff, where people are saying like, oh, it wasn't about Russia destabilizing thing, maybe they actively were trying to get Trump to win and that was their actual end goal, as opposed to, you know, generally sowing discord. No, this actually seems to be like a case of people actively discussing how they're going to rig the election themselves. It's so conspicuous that like people are resigning from parliament over it. So it was around this. So Bild in June published the actual recordings, and this triggered another round of mass protests on June 10th, at which point the president said that he wanted to cancel or postpone the elections in October. Rama's response to this was to say, no, we're going to hold the election anyway, and then we're going to look into impeaching the president. previously, so presidents have done this in Albania before, and the way it's supposed to work is that the Constitutional Court would adjudicate any challenges to this. So what Rama's doing is challenging the president. But because the Constitutional Court isn't in session, because too many of its members are under investigation for their finances, they can't rule on this. So Rama has just decided he would win and do it anyway. So like the entire system itself is just effectively Rama is ruling like with no opposition, and the other bits of the government that are supposed to not hold Rama in check, but like operate in conjunction with the prime minister, who's supposed to be mostly in charge in this system. Like the president is supposed to have veto power and stuff, which effectively they don't have, because Rama's just now looking into impeaching the president because he's trying to postpone elections. The court system that would adjudicate any formal challenges to anything that's going on isn't really functioning because of things that Rama's government themselves started in motion and has been going on for years, and it's just taking too long to sort out, really, to move on quickly with it. So there's some fun aftermath relating to this. Rama is currently, as publicly stated, that he's looking into suing the journalist that billed Peter Tita, who published the wiretaps, which I think is quite funny because the wiretaps are just recordings of people in the Socialist Party discussing how to rig the election, largely. So I don't understand what his point is or in what form he would sue him, but okay, sure. The Albanian prosecutors have publicly said they're investigating the leak of the wiretaps, but don't appear to be, basically, so these wiretaps relate to the 2017 election. So the Albanian prosecutor has been sitting on them for years, not doing anything about it. And like, as far as anyone can tell, that's what they're going to continue doing. They're not like investigating these further. They're just like, they have the recordings. I guess if they come up later, they'll use them. But they are investigating how the leak happened and will actively prosecute that. They're also trying to prosecute the head of the opposition party for alleged links to a Russian company that people claim is part of like a wider conspiracy to destabilize the Albanian government. Which, I mean, isn't necessarily not those could be they're not mutually exclusive. Like, that's totally possible. That seems like something that they might want to do, because I will get into in a second why international observers have been very critical of the anti-government protests. So this may very well be true, but I mean, like, the core thing of the anti-government protests is that all the opposition parties are involved, including a party that was prior to the 2017 election in coalition with Rama. So it's not, that tarring brush isn't necessarily like delegitimizing the protests themselves or any opposition to Rama's government, but it is kind of a, well, putting the opposition in charge wouldn't, well, one is like the electoral math actually doesn't really work out that way, because they're not close to winning, but they're needing to dissolve Rama's government is probably legitimate. So this gets on to what international observers have generally been saying otherwise. So the thing about Rama, and the reason, one of the reasons he's popular, so like, again, gold on his Wikipedia page, there's an award section. Rama in 2005 was chosen by Time magazine as one of their European heroes for people who are trying to change the world for the better. He's won the Commander of the Legion of Honor from France, he's received honors from Monaco. He has received a UN award that Kofi Annan gave him. He's very much seen as a figure that is like trying to reform Albania for the good, and potentially to have them begin EU accession talks, which would probably be a good thing generally for Albania. However, they're taking the tack that often that has been, like, people are generally critical of large intergovernmental organizations like the EU, or very large countries like the US, for keeping the status quo for the purpose of, oh, but if we get rid of the status quo, there will be short-term big problems, and our long-term overarching reform plans won't happen. So this has often been logic that has kept, like, dictators in place, because they're saying, well, we would destabilize Egypt if we let their dictator be ousted, or the many, many years everyone was cozy with Gaddafi, because, well, they weren't necessarily wrong, because the civil war in Libya is now awful, but, like, it that wasn't necessarily the end result of it if you had gotten rid of Gaddafi earlier, or not encouraged him and propped up his rule in order to get what you wanted out of Libya. This is kind of more of a case of Rama is doing stuff like the judiciary reforms, which do sound like they're definitely needed, but keeping him in place and or like supporting him more generally and taking what he says as his word seems to be, you know, misplaced trust, because there is actual proof that him and his party are involved in international drug gangs to rig their elections, and generally are trying to rig their elections. That's their plan anyway. So it's just not, this is not great. So Rama's doing the reforms they want. And I guess the plan effectively is, well, at some point he'll be gone, and then there'll be a better system. But short-term, obviously, Albanians don't like that. And their main demand is to install a technocratic government to effectively keep things ticking along and fix some problems. Like, for instance, they could replace everyone in the prosecutor's office who doesn't think wiretaps implicating the prime minister are a big deal. Or, you know, getting the judiciary back up and running faster, and maybe changing some electoral law stuff, investigating the people who are implicated in these wiretaps. You know, there seems like plenty of steps that you probably would need a, like, you're never getting an actual impartial technocratic government, but if your goal is that everyone agrees that there's big reforms that are needed, this isn't the way to do it. Just keeping in place the person no matter what his flaws are, because his flaws seems pretty immense and are driving the other people in the country to have mass protests and then actively not take place in elections. And again, if election anywhere has 10% turnout, that's maybe a sign you should speak up and be like, maybe the election's not legitimate. Maybe there's something wrong with the system. I'm not for kicking governments out and replacing technocratic governments, but I mean, this seems like a pretty clear-cut thing to me. But you know, I don't run Albania or the EU, but getting the word out that stop it, Albania, and Rama, stop it now, not good. And that is another episode of Previously in Europe. We'll be back next week with a episode with both of your hosts talking about something, depending on what happens during the week. We are supported by our kind patrons. Some of our patrons include Dermot Burke, Drew Zarian, Justin Paul Sammons, Lisa Shalagina, Michael Hall, Newt, and Na McLaughlin. Oh wait, no, and Subliminal Kid. There was one more. We have enough that I don't remember to say all of them all the time. Usually care on this list. This is why I'm not good at it. They're very kind. If you like the show, support us on Patreon. We will talk about things. You can even add to our suggestion box, like one of our patrons did this week, and had me talk at length about something I find very interesting to investigate, and more upsetting the more I looked into it. Because, you know, it really felt like those student protests got the Minister of Education out, and I felt like, oh, a protest that has, like, a positive thing. Oh no, underneath, no, everything is terrible. Oh, it's fuck. If you like the podcast as well, please review it on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast app you use. We have an email. You can email us. We would take questions on email as well, but we are more likely to answer them if you're a Patreon supporter. It's previouslyineurope@gmail.com. I tweet from the account @PrevInEurope about European stuff mostly, and I reply to heads of state and things to rile up their staff. I think that's it. Oh, we have a Facebook group. It's Previously in Europe. Search for it on Facebook, and if you're not a bot, we'll let you in. And that will be all good. Anyway, that is all for this week. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.